Have you done any more with the existing app that's out there, like went through and looked at buildings and stuff like that? Yet?
I mean, I can see on Google Maps in there.
Okay. I'm just trying to get to that and I know I've got a Google account somewhere. Did you use your personal account to set up Google Play or?
Google Play, what do you, I don't use Google Play.
See, when I go into the app, it tells me I need to set up Google Play in order to do that. So I'm not sure. Yeah, the technology is, I've already done this before and I keep getting tripped up because I don't use this kind of device very often. I think from the last time, you know, when we were trying to do this, I'm not sure whether MSU guest was the problem or versus MSU Air, you know, because we couldn't get it logged in or couldn't update or whatever it was. I hadn't been back to try to figure out that, but I think I was trying to remember what MSU guest is for. Is it just for on-campus services? If it is, this should be an on-campus service. So it should work.
MSU guest should be for that.
The other thing is this, the reason your stuff wasn't showing up, you know, I was told it takes like 20 minutes for it to show up. I'm pretty sure that I figured out with Daniel that you have to stop the app, clear the cache and data, and it might be just one of them. And then you restart the app and then the new stuff shows up. And I think the reason for that is because we're running it in a test mode. It's not really running the way an app, it's not being updated the way an app would normally be updated. Because normally with an app, you would republish it and then it would do a push notification to the app itself and you would update it there. That's the way I understand that works. If you have a different understanding, I'd certainly like to hear. But I think that's why it wouldn't, why you were having trouble, you know, it wouldn't show up for you for 24 hours or whatever your comment was about that.
So you're saying that if I have issues, I need to talk to Myers because you said you were working with him?
Well, this was something that we worked out because Myers knew Android devices and I did not. And he told me that when he worked with apps, other apps, that he would have to stop the app on his phone and flush the data and stuff, then restart the app and it would work. When he told me to do how, you know, I saw how that was done, then it started working on this little thing over here. You know, I could get my updates, you know, pretty rapidly there. The other thing about this one is, by default, the power saving mode is so aggressive that it's disconnecting me. If I just lay it down, I mean, it's like it was set to like 15 seconds or 30 seconds. It instantly jumped into power saving mode and it was disconnecting. And that was causing me a lot of trouble. I mean, that's some of the technical problems I've been having. I don't know what yours is set to, but you know, I would certainly think while you're developing, you would want it a little bit longer than that.
Yeah, because when you're using it, it's not going to go in power saving. When you stop using it, you stop using it.
Yeah. And, you know, I think because of the nature of the data that's involved with these apps, it's probably pretty good for it to disconnect pretty rapidly. Now, students and stuff want their stuff, when they sign on, they're just used to leaving it signed on forever. But I'm pretty sure, and I will find that, or you can find if you're out there looking, that there's a default timeout that I don't think you can change it. That, you know, if the app's inactive, it's going to lock them out if they're not using it for anything. was looking at the campus news feed, and there's a few things on there that are published, you know, like the honors list and stuff. Where does the news feed come from anyway?
I don't know, it's nothing.
Okay, so it's nothing you've written part of the web or anything like that? I don't know where that RSS feed's coming from.
Oh, you mean the RSS feed that's on the program? Well, you put that there. And that's coming from the website.
Okay. I mean,
everything's put exactly as they put it in there. It's content managed by people on the website. So
okay.
What they type goes in there.
Well, some of the things, I'm going to have to go back and look.
There are problems because people put stuff in incorrectly and think and complain and put tickets about that and never got around to it. It's a programming. We have to write some sort of a fix to reduce the amount of damage they cause, because in some cases they're copying from Word, which then puts bad formatting and then causes it to put things wrong in there, and then it just doesn't show up properly. Saying clients that don't know how to work around that tend to be all messed up. I've reported that a few times on Jira. Certain users do that, but I can't really tell users to stop doing that, because if they do, they won't listen most of the time.
The thing I was talking about was I was looking at something like called President's Honors List, or the...
But it's
cut off. I mean, it seems to me like it's cut off, so there must be a limit to how much the app is showing or something like that.
That's, again, content. If they cut it off that, or they use a summary or something, it's all up to, it depends on what they do.
I understand. I'm just wanting to see if there is a standard amount of content that these apps and stuff are expected to display, you know. Like, you remember the original text messages, like, 128 characters was all you could do in the originals? I mean, it was so little, you know, you couldn't write a paragraph. It was like, hey, Kevin, how you doing? Let's go fishing. You know, bop, it was just quick. And I'm just wondering if those feeds and stuff are that fast. I mean, are that... chopped off. What we should be doing right now is devising and figuring out what other institutions have put up for the apps. Now, some of them, we don't have the same software they got, and I certainly am not suggesting that we go buy a bunch of software so we can match theirs.
As a rule, I don't go and steal ideas from other people, so I'm not...
Well, you're going to be off in the weeds then, because you have to know what other people are doing, too. You don't have to steal their ideas, but, I mean, you have to be able to, whenever you start rolling stuff out, you need to be addressing the same areas that they're addressing.
I'm not following, because it sounds like you're talking about content, but I'm not. That's not programming.
That's what I'm talking about. Content.
So if you want me doing content, which sounds more like marketing.
Okay. I'm getting into this war of words, and I'm not going
to
do it.
I'm trying to understand. That's what I'm saying.
I'm looking at the menus. I want to see what other people have on their menus and make sure that when we design ours, that we're going to have a way. We're not designing ourselves off into the ether, you know, different from everybody else. I mean, I want to make sure that if every other institution around us has a Moodle button on it, we got a Moodle button. I mean, we just got a new, Wendell just upgraded Zimbra, so I want to make sure that there's a Zimbra, you know, an email interface on there. Just for faculty staff, students shouldn't have that. They need a Gmail app, you know, whenever you're a student. You following me?
Okay.
Am I making any sense here?
So you just want me to copy whatever they had and put it on ours?
I want us to get the ideas and make sure that we're addressing all those areas. I mean, now, I'm not asking you if they already have figured out some kind of cool way to do it. I mean, why wouldn't we try to utilize something somebody else has already done? We don't have to reinvent the wheel, you know, and try to, you know, spend a bunch of time trying to figure out how the Google app, you know, is integrated in with ours. If somebody else has already done it. I'm not certain. I know that there's some links on ours that talk about financial data for students, but I don't recall seeing anything. When I went through it initially, there wasn't any obvious thing for me to display financial data. You know, like how much is your bill? And I was hoping that you would have the time and could kind of research that and figure out, is that, number one, is that supposed to be some kind of custom code that's written? Or is it just a feature that's not turned on, you know, like in the configuration of the mobile app or what? Am I making any sense at all?
Sounds like you just want me to research this software.
Yeah, that's why I put the documents and stuff out there. I mean, that's kind of what I'm needing, a starting point. I mean, at this point, I'm not 100% certain that I need code written to do these things, because there might already be pieces of code written, and that's what these other team members are going to be helping us with, and that's using the Banner APIs to pull this data with and stuff like that.
With APIs isn't code, it's just
Kevin calling me. Please do not sit here and mince words with me over that. I mean, please. Please.
You see things as mixing words. I see things trying to understand, because when you say something, I hear something different, they're not going to be on the same level.
You don't think an API is not code?
You see it as the API has got the code on there, and you just communicate through that. It's communication.
Right.
So you're not doing, it's like RSS, it's an API. I'm mixing up words. It's a standard. That's what I'm meaning.
Tell me what an API is if it doesn't involve code.
I'm mixing up standard. The RSS feed stuff. I'm stuck on that.
I'm interested in the end result, is what I'm interested in. And I'm not interested in them going back and writing a bunch of custom code, because there's already APIs delivered to do most of the things. And I'm taking it as my job to go figure out why we can't use the APIs. That's my part in this. Is because I'm not looking for, you know, 25 servers sitting in the background feeding data to a mobile app if they don't have to, just because somebody didn't bother to go read the documentation and manuals. Now, I'm not asking you to do that part. I mean, you may be interested in that part. I'm asking them to do that part, to go figure it out. Have you ever looked at the existing mobile app that Magnesium has?
Nope.
Probably need to, I'll get Pat to tell us how to get through that, because we need to look at that one, because I don't want to, you know, I don't know what they got there. I suspect it's next to nothing. Again, this mobile app is supposed to be a tool that's custom. I mean, it's not custom, but it's more or less customized, or can be customized to the particular type of end user, like a student. What's important for a student? You know, website stuff is not important to them on the mobile app. They'll have another way to do that. Or maybe there could be a button there that says website. You know, a faculty, the FCS system is probably not that important to a student, but it is very important to a staff member. So we need to design a staff, you know, button or something there, or menu, if you will, so that when you log in, if you're a staff, no, that should come up because of your role. It should just be part of the role. You know, we use roles to figure that out. I mean, if I'm going to have to go read all the documentation and read all of the stuff, and then come back and tell you what page it's on, and all of that, then, I mean, I've already got an app written, I can just go do that. But I don't have time to do that.
I don't know why you would tell me where the documentation is, you've already got.
Well, I mean, what I'm asking you to do is make sure you're familiar with the documentation. We'll have Myers immediately go upgrade us to the current version, but you gotta make sure that, you can tell him, you can help him know that when he's got it done, and it's working right. Because he tells me he don't know how the application works, but he can install the software. So we're gonna have to tell him whenever that's done. I'm trying to figure out how I'm gonna get this project going. Have you looked at anybody else's stuff? No, right? Okay. Well then, go look, go to Google Play, go to look at the Illusion Go, and just scan and look and see what other people are doing. That's what I'm looking for right now, is ideas. Really looking for ideas. I'm not looking for a complete homegrown custom HTML5 based mobile app. I'm looking for something that takes what we have, that we've bought, and activate the features in it. That's 99% of it. We link in other products and things like the Moodle app. We look, link in the, Zimbra for faculty staff, the Gmail one. Do you have any idea? I mean, you don't have any idea how to do that right now, correct?
And most of this stuff is just put a URL to a remote system that serves the data, so.
Okay, well then you should.
The way it's designed is to have a bunch of systems that you just pull data from.
Okay, so this should not be any kind of problem then. Okay. I mean, I was thinking that the app had to be downloaded to the phone and all that kind of stuff, you know, these things, like Google Apps and all that. I mean, the mobile interface for Google, I thought that had to be installed on their phone and all that.
No, what's going on is, this goes back to the thing about the API, where people were using API when they meant standard, and that just redefined it for me. But like the standard, like on Drupal's website, or Mindy's website, sending RSS feeds, and it also sends iCount, and those are two standards. And it knows to read those standards, and just pulls it, so it doesn't matter about the interface, it doesn't matter anything. That's how the Drupal website was designed, so you can do all these things without having to worry about what program and software they have on the other end, because you just need a standard. And that's what the when Patrick put that third-party JavaScript, try to put the JavaScript aside, because now they're using API, they're using the standard that's in there, they're calling it an API. So the things that people are calling an API are actually just standards, and then I'm just reinterpreting API to mean standard. I'm trying to make sense of what threw me off there. And those standards, like RSS feed and iCal, and possibly other ones, like Atoms and different things, are what these programs provide. So you don't need to know what they do on their end, you just need the data, and that's what they provide as their standard. Some URL on their website, they send it in a particular standard, like an RSS feed, some sort of XML. Some things might have AJAX, which is not really an API, but people are calling it an API, so I'm starting to call it that accidentally. It's actually just a standard. And you just pull that data, and that's it. There's no downloading apps or anything else. It's just you pull the data from that URL based on the format they say. So the question isn't whether they are providing data, what format they're providing data, is it in the feed, is it in iCalendar, both of which they support. I don't know if it does in AJAX, because that would require programming. But anything other than a feed or iCal might require programming, because I haven't seen any other format yet.
Okay.
you should be able to go, you successfully log in with that mic test, that image that was on the Jira, I mean, yeah. I mean, that's where you found the URL.
Yeah, after you took it and brought it back, it started working, so.
Okay. You did. All I did was, what I said, stopped it, and, well, let's see, first we logged in. So I'm not sure exactly if logging into MSU Guest or MSU Air was the fix. We logged into MSU Air.
Well, I don't send my credentials on MSU Air. See, that way it's not secure. So I'm going to use MSU Guest.
And the other one, well, you're going to have to, the app has to be logged in, because it's going to have to log in to be able to use any of the banner features. And it can't be logged in as a guest. And it's just
I'm not logging in through the app as guest. I'm logging in through the app as a mic one test. I'm talking about the wireless image.
Okay.
Test.
We should be able to. Can you use that for? You should be able to use that for the wireless too. I would be. It should be the same. It should be the same to do that. But I'm kind of. You should be able to go out there and hook him up to Google. If he's not, doesn't have a Google account, I need to get Myers to add him one, so he can test the email piece of that. I'll just get Colleen and Gerald in to go research these other ones, and because it's just go to Google Play and stuff like that, and look and see what people have on their menus, and I can let them help me design that. I know one of the things like Northwestern put on their app was they had their radio station streaming through it. I'm not so sure that that's a real good use of the technology. I mean, I guess somebody in as big of a distance ed school as they are, if you want to hear the local radio station about campus. But I mean, most of the time it's just damn music and stuff, you know? I mean, it's no real content. But they had a radio station on there and all that kind of stuff. I'm not sure what that took to do that, but somebody like you probably does.
Again, it's just another standard they have, streaming standards, so you don't need to have anything on your end, you just point to a URL.
Okay, and since you think since Pat and them already have it streaming across the internet,
I don't know.
I mean, they do. It should be just pointing to a URL and picking up the radio station. All sounds good.
If the interface supports adding a audio stream, and then what formats? So it depends on whether it supports that format.
Okay, that's the questions I have. I mean,
it's all a question of what format, what standards they follow. That's it.
Okay. All right, well, let me get Colleen and Gerald. They're both wanting to come talk about something else. I'll get them to help me design the layout for what we want on there, and then we'll be able to put you a good solid task.
Well, if we're going to be in this team, I'd like to be there when you're building the layout.
Okay. All right. That'd be fine. So I'll set us up a little meeting then, because they're wanting to talk about something else right now. Okay, so, well, here's the preparation work, because I'm going to the existing apps that I can find, and that's where I'm going to pull my information from. So if you want to be in advance, you know where it's coming from, that's where it's coming from.
Okay, since this happened earlier, when you were talking about the API, and I was talking about this other thing, that's why I'm particular about words, because I ended up redefining API because everyone else is using it incorrectly. When you use stuff, I'm going to try to get clarification, because there's things I don't understand. So I'm not trying to play a word game. I'm not a politician. I never try to do that. Don't ever interpret that way. If I'm asking a question, I'm being serious about it. So I just had a slip of the mind and was thinking in the terms that they were thinking that I started reading. So I'm going to be using that as an example for now, because that happened.
To me, it's... The API I have to deal with all the time.
Well, no, what I was trying to talk about wasn't API specifically. It was that's a good example of when you were talking about not trying to play this game of mincing words. I'm not playing a game, and I'm not mincing words. I'm trying to make sense, because people have different interpretations of stuff, even when they should be straightforward. They've been redefined, and then I get used to dealing with those people, and then I get redefined using them, and then going back and forth. When I ask for clarification, I'm not trying to be a word game politician.
Well, it happens to me all the time. If I say, I want this signature darker, oh my God, it can't be darker because it's already black and white. You can't make black darker. My intent was to make the thing thicker. All right? I don't use words like make a signature thicker. I mean, I want it to be darker because, you know, use a device, you know, or a pencil. How do you make a signature darker with a pencil? To press down hard or get a different lead or something like that. And that kind of stuff, you know, maybe I'm incorrect. But, you know, you have to be able to read between the lines just a tiny bit. And you aren't the one that got into that, but others do. And that stuff makes me crazy. Because whenever they decide to do something, they don't hold themselves to that same high standard they tried to hold me to. And that makes me think they're just trying to aggravate or show me that they know a bunch of crap. I've forgotten more than most people know. I mean, I've been doing this shit for 40 years. And if you don't think I haven't seen just about every single personality problem, you know, one day it was punch cards and now it's internet. I mean, it's still all the same. I mean, the whole objective is still the same. It's just different technologies and stuff. And I don't mean to sit and mislead people either. But I just kind of get a little, I'm not going to go learn the technology you're using or the words you're using today just because somebody has chosen to go down this path, because we're all trying to do the same thing. It's all the same. It's just different. I mean, just a different way. Ford and Chevrolet. Some people argue all day long over Ford and Chevrolet. To me, I don't care. Which one gives me the best deal? You know, maybe if I knew one of them was 100% made in America and the other was made 100% in Mexico, I might choose to make a decision based on that. But most of us can't tell. I mean, hell, for all I know, you know, probably half of the open source software is probably developed in Finland or someplace like that, you know, where they support chemical terrorists, you know, and stuff like that. I don't know. Did the guy that developed it personally support terrorists? Probably not, you know, so I don't know. Or was the other half of it developed in Germany where they make chemical weapons? I don't know. So I don't, you know, I don't really.
I don't see how that even relates.
It does. I mean, people who are gung-ho Americans will still support foreign countries by using their software and stuff. Where's Linus Torvalds from?
Now, open source isn't supporting their software, it's building your software.
On them?
No.
How do you do Linux without what Torvalds started?
How do you build a stone and tires? All that's built on knowledge throughout all the world. There's the Romans, all kinds of other people throughout the world that all did horrible things. It's got nothing to do with them. It's about you now. We're building this here. We're not using that. It doesn't have any relationship to them.
Oh, it does. I mean, people just choose not to see that. Choose not to see it.
Same is true for Windows. Every time you support a system like that, or a Mac, or any other ones.
Yeah, it's America. Yeah.
Not America.
Not anymore. But they work.
I don't think it's got anything to do with America. It's code is code, so it's got nothing to do with
no nationality with code.
Right. That's why I was saying there's no relationship.
Well, let me talk with them, and you just make sure you're ready, and I'll get the meeting set up and lay it out.